come to your throne. May our songs be a fragrance unto you. May our lives be as pleasing offerings in all that we do. God, how we long to be near to you. Into your courts we come, deep in our hearts we long to be near to the throne of your glory. As we draw near to you, know that we're here to do your will. God, how we long to be near to you. May our prayers be like incense rising unto your throne. To you. May our lives be as pleasing offerings in all that we do. God, how we long to be near to you.
Near to you.
God, how we long to be in whom I can trust. Under the shadow of your wings I will find a hiding place. You are my refuge, my God in whom I trust. Under the shadow of your wings I will find a hiding place. You are my refuge, a fortress in whom I can trust. Under the shadow of your wings I will find a hiding place. You are my refuge, my God in whom I trust. You are my refuge, my God in whom I trust.
Church, let's sing together.
Oh, come into the King's chambers and worship before your throne. Oh, come into the King's chambers and his glory shall be shown. Oh, come into his holy presence and magnify his name. Into the King's chambers, you will never be the same. I come into the King's chambers, and I worship before your throne. I come into the King's chambers, and your glory shall be shown. I come. presence, and I magnify your name. I come into the King's chambers. I will never be the same.
If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46. We read a psalm of great encouragement and great blessing, the 46th Psalm, a psalm of the sons of Korah. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's something majestic about the 46th Psalm. It's the kind of psalm that when you hear it read or you read it for yourself, the phrases keep coming back again and again to encourage and to bless you. It was this psalm that became the inspiration of Martin Luther as he sat down in 1529 and penned that old hymn that we have so often sung here, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Martin Luther used to say, "Come and let us sing the 46th Psalm together and then let them do their worst to us." You'd think following the reading of the 46th Psalm that something special must have happened to have prompted such a writing. And indeed it did. Many of the Psalms, we have no idea what had happened or what took place to inspire such a writing. But the 46th Psalm, the scholars are pretty certain the situation that had prompted the psalmist to write these words. The Assyrian conqueror named Sennacherib had brought his massive army into Judah. He had come to besiege and to massacre the people of God. And as he came with his massive army like a juggernaut, he was just rolling over everything that got in his way. Every village, every nation, every town that he came to, he just absolutely and totally destroyed. He came and brought his army around the city of Jerusalem, and inside its walls, its people were fearful and knowing that their lives were about to end. Sennacherib not only brought his army and threatened to kill them, he mocked the people of God and the God of Israel. He said to them that the nations before you have called out on their gods. Their gods did nothing to save them, and your God will do nothing to save you. And he sent that message again and again to the people of Israel. Inside the walls was a king named Hezekiah, a righteous king. When he received the message from Sennacherib, he tore his garments and he went to the temple of God and he began to pray. He sent word to the prophet of God, Isaiah, who was also in the city. And Isaiah sent him back a message, and to just put it in Ronnie's Revised, to get to the bottom line of what Isaiah said to Hezekiah, he said, bottom line, this man's not coming in this city. And so the king went back to his chamber and he went to sleep. The prophet of God slept. The people of God in the city slept. And Sennacherib's enormous army was gathered around the city to go in and massacre the people of God the next day during the fourth watch of the night. Somewhere right at the peep of dawn, God dispatched an angel. And that angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. And when dawn broke and lightness began to spew over the valley, they looked out over the walls and saw 185,000 dead corpses lying all around the city, the result of the work of the angel of God. But right in the nick of time, at exactly the right moment, God had intervened and had rescued his people. And Sennacherib gathered up what little army he had left and hightailed it back to Assyria. And shortly after he arrived in Nineveh, Sennacherib himself was assassinated by his own sons. And he never plagued the people of Israel again. The psalmist, as he took in that entire scenario, began to say that God, in fact, is our refuge and strength. And he said in a refrain that he repeats twice, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." For he had come to understand that there was one he could count on no matter what happened. That was the God of heaven who cared for his people. He begins by talking about the unthinkable happening, because what Sennacherib had come to do was unthinkable. And so he puts himself in an imaginary situation and he begins to look at the things he thought were in place and solid, and all of a sudden it all begins to fall in and unravel on him. He says, "Though the earth should give way." And he pictures a scene of the earth and its surface beginning to crack open, and like a snake going across the ground, the fissures and the cracks begin to open up. The word means literally to deteriorate. When the earth deteriorates, it was unthinkable. And to the Hebrew mind, the mountains were the pillars of the earth. They were solid. They were in place. They were foundational. They would never be moved, not the mountains. But as the psalmist looks, the unthinkable begins to happen. And like drunk men, the mountains begin to swagger and toddle and then fall into the midst of the sea. And it is an unthinkable scene to the psalmist. And then as he looked at the sea that it's 17 waves per minute, every minute, every hour, every day. All of a sudden, the sea is in enormous turmoil. And its waters are foaming and roaring. And as he looked at the waters, he could see pieces of the mountain being thrown about like you would see a child's styrofoam toy thrown about. And as the psalmist looks at everything unraveling and everything caving in on him, he says, "I will not fear." You say, "What?" He says, "We will not fear." How can he say that? Is it that he doesn't know what's going on? No, in fact, he looks at exactly what's going on and says, "We will not fear." Why? Because God is an ever-present help in trouble. I love the way one scholar said that this ought to be rendered. He said it ought to be rendered, "God allows himself to be found in the straits." That is, whenever you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, God allows himself to be found when you're in the straits of life. Maybe you've come here this morning and you feel like you're in the straits. And the things that you thought were solid have begun to cave in, and the relationships you thought were there have begun to unravel. And you feel this morning like the world has caved in on you. And the unthinkable has happened. Unless you've been an ostrich for the last week and had your head in the ground, you couldn't miss what's going on in our country. I'm not a police officer and I haven't seen all of the evidence. What little evidence that I did see, the verdict angered me too. And then what followed that verdict was unthinkable. I said to Marcia one night late as we watched the live coverage of what was going on, I said, this is unbelievable. How can this happen in our country? This is the kind of stuff you would see on the front pages of newspapers about a third world country somewhere. This can't be happening in our nation. But it was, and it is. When the unthinkable happens, the psalmist says we have an ever-present help who can be found when you're in distress. Our daughter Jenny has got a close friend at school. In fact, she'll be one of her roommates next year. Whose brother, all of a sudden, unexplained, began to have seizures. He's 24 years old. Bright young man. I met him. His name is Greg. And they took him to the hospital and they began to see what, trying to find out what was going on after not only one hospital stay, but two or three hospital stays. They finally told the family this past week they believe that he has a brain tumor. 24 years old. And to look at him, the picture of health. But now the things that they thought were solid and in place have begun to unravel. The psalmist says if you find yourself in that situation this morning, you have an ever-present help in trouble. The scene changes at verse 4. As drastic as day follows night, there's a scene change. From all the chaos and the turmoil of the first three verses, suddenly at verse 4, there is this place of quiet tranquility. Have you ever noticed that whenever man creates something powerful, it's always noisy? You know, we make a jet engine noisy. We make a generator noisy. But whenever you see the power of God, so many times it's so quiet. There's a picture of the quiet power of God in verse 1. Suddenly from the chaos, there's a scene of tranquility. And the Bible says that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And God is in the midst of her, and she won't fall. The earth may be coming apart and unraveling, and everything you thought was solid is all falling into the heart of the sea, and the sea is in a turmoil. But there is a place that will not fall because God is in her midst. You know, Jerusalem is one of the unique capitals among the cities of the world in that it wasn't built on some body of water or a major river. It's a dry land. And to have water in a dry land, to the Hebrew thought, was incredibly good. And here is a picture of God supplying the people with a river. And it makes glad the city. And it says in verse 5, He will help her at the break of day. The psalmist pulling from the rescue of God that at the pre-dawn hours, just before dawn broke, the angel of the Lord rescued his people. It's that thought. In the fourth watch of the night, God rescues. Helmut Thielicke, who was for years a great German scholar and preacher, stood among the smoldering ruins of his bombed-out church building. He was wearing his boots and his trench coat, and the rain was falling, and he said to a bunch of discouraged, disheartened people that just now, in the crisis moment of our lives, God will come to help. Later, Helmut Thielicke stood in a 3,000-seat auditorium in Hamburg where he preached for so many years, and he declared to the people as he stood up the first time in their new auditorium, he said, God is as good as His promise. Church, He is with us in the midst of a bombed-out church building. He is with us in the trauma and the crisis of an emergency room. And He is with us in the wee hours of the morning when we wonder where our child is. And He is with us in the brokenness and the grief of a funeral home. And He is with us when we get the pink slip and the company is saying, my job is no longer there. And He is with us when the relationship begins to unravel and the family comes apart. He is with us and can be found in the straits because He comes to help. The moment of our need, He comes. You say, why does God wait until the last minute? Why does He wait till the fourth watch of the night to all of a sudden rescue His people? Is God just wanting me to squirm and to hurt for a while? No, not at all. It is that when God comes, He comes in the moment when we and everyone around us recognize this is God and can be none other. At verse 10, I love the way the psalmist concludes this psalm. At verse 10, God Himself speaks. The psalmist has been speaking up to verse 10. Finally, God Himself speaks, and He says, be still. Know that I'm God. The word literally means, let your hands hang down. It is a reference to desisting, to ceasing all activity, to just let your hands hang down. You know, you and I have had that experience where we throw up our hands and we say, oh, I have had it. I've had it enough. Just kind of stop the world and let me get off. I've had it. God speaks to us this morning and He says, just let your hands hang down and contemplate for a while who it is that delivers. And enter the quietness where I can recreate you and give you the encouragement that you need for today. John Claypool has written several books. One of them is called Tracts of a Fellow Struggler. Really, it's a book of sermons that he preached around the events of his 10-year-old daughter, Laura Lou, dying of acute leukemia. He tells about some of the struggles that he goes through as he goes through this process of watching his little girl die. He said he was asked by a dear friend of his, does your religion really help you in a time like this? And he said there were moments in the several days before she died where she would just sleep 30 minutes at a time, but the pain that she was undergoing was so intense. He said all I could do would be to stand by her bed or sit by her bed and just hold her hand and be there. But he said I was helpless to do anything to help her. And he said as he contemplated that question, does your religion do anything to help you in a time like that? He said it finally dawned on him. That old promise in Isaiah 40 that says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He said, I discovered that I couldn't mount up on wings like eagles in a moment of ecstasy. Not in a moment like that. He said, I even discovered that I didn't have the legs to run with and not be weary. But he said, the one thing I discovered was in the moments of my greatest need, God did supply me the strength to walk and not be faint. And so he said to his people as he preached that sermon, he said, here I stand. I'm not able to fly on wings of eagles. I'm heartbroken. I'm pained beyond description. And I don't have the legs to run. But by the grace of God, I'm still on my feet walking because God has supplied the strength. This morning, His presence is available to help you and meet your need wherever it might be. Whether it's family, relationship, trouble with jobs, or just the circumstances of the world have got you beat down to the point where you come in and say, you know, everything I thought was solid is coming apart. Would you hear the words of the psalmist? We have an ever-present help in time of trouble. And He's here to meet you at the point of your need and to supply you exactly what you need. Isn't that good news? Father, in the midst of a nation in turmoil, and sometimes in the midst of lives, individual lives, they're in the midst of trouble. We often ask the question, where is God in all of this? And Father, we thank You for the assurance and the promise of the 46th Psalm, that You can be found in the straits. And it is our prayer this morning that those of us in our family who feel they're in the straits this morning, that the unthinkable has happened in their lives, it is our prayer they might sense Your presence and Your power, that You might meet their need as only You can and give them exactly what You can supply. Father, thank You for a love that never leaves us, for a presence that's with us always. May we be reminded this morning through the encouragement of this song that You care for us and You never leave us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, if you feel you're in the strait, and you want this family of believers to put their arm around you and encourage you and pray for you and support you in the days ahead, would you come and let us know about that so that we can do that very thing? But this morning, if you want to come to a God who can be found in the straits, who extends His hand to you and says, I want to be your God, and I want you to be my person, He extends His invitation to you this morning to say, come. And if you're weary and heavy laden and burdened down with this world's trouble, you come to Me, and I'll give you rest. Would you come to Him this morning? And would you come right now while we stand and sing?
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet His cry of love and pity.